This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Thaddeus McCotter, recovering politician, writing at American Greatness. It is July 23rd, 1885. The man who saved the Union, Ulysses S. Grant, is dead. His funeral procession in New York is miles long. Everyone turns out to say goodbye to the general, the man who saved the Union. He died painfully of throat cancer over a long period of time. It permitted him, however, with the help of Mark Twain, to finish his biography, and now he belongs to the ages. He's buried in Grant's tomb in New York City, prominent, and I recommend you visit it someday. It's very simple. Nobody makes a fuss over it. That's where he is. However, in the carriage that day were mourners. Those mourners are significant for the 21st century. That is, who was in the carriage as mourners and pallbearers for Ulysses Grant? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you, John. There were four people assigned to be pallbearers. Obviously, two come to mind quickly. They'd be William Tecumseh Sherman and General Phil Sheridan, Union generals who served under Grant and were instrumental into his defeat of the Army of Northern Virginia. The other two are not quite so obvious. One would be Simon Bolivar Buckner and Joseph Johnston. Both were Confederate generals. While Grant was dying in New York of throat cancer, he had made a list of his wishes for his funeral. And these four individuals were part of that list. He submitted them to the current president at the time, which was Grover Cleveland Alexander, the first Democrat elected since the Civil War. And President Cleveland saw the need and the justice of trying to bring the country together and admired Grant for bringing forward these two Confederate generals' names in the interest of continuing to build a peaceable union amongst former adversaries. When we watched President Biden's State of the Union, what you saw was basically a partisan Democratic pitch rather than a statesmanlike address trying to unify the country. And that's what reminded me of Grant's funeral. When you think about it, John, all the things that are happening are rather polarized electorate right now, between Republicans and Democrats and others. Nothing compares to the fact that you had Union and Confederate soldiers killing each other over the course of that bloody conflict, and then trying to piece together and patch together and heal the nation. Obviously, General Grant and his four generals that were pallbearers were on both sides of that conflict. They spent their entire waking moments trying to figure out how to destroy each other, to kill each other. And yet when the war was over, they understood the need to bring this country together. No one in elective office today is going through anything remotely similar to what they went through. And hopefully they never will. And yet it is a sign of our selfish and self-centered times that we cannot bring ourselves to find what can unite us and to respect and tolerate the difference amongst ourselves, let alone simply engage in a civil debate as to figure out what they are. So I know that it can seem despairing at times, especially when we look to what other generations of Americans have accomplished. But I still think it's within us. I think it's what Robert Kennedy called the unselfish spirit in the United States. I think that's still here. We just need to remember it's there. And every now and then, evoke its memory and bring it back to life. We can do it. But I was glad to see that Grant, we have that example before us.
That endeavor continued. I have photographs that I find on a site of the 1913 50th reunion of Gettysburg. All these men with long white beards getting off a special train. And there was an encampment. And they all lined up for luncheon. They sat around their photographs, generals without their one leg or the other. And they would be talking over the picket fences. These were Confederate and Union soldiers who'd fought at Gettysburg. And it was much in the news about this grand reunion. It was very hot, which is why some of the senior members, such as Chamberlain, could not attend. Woodrow Wilson attended. They were all keen on knitting the country together, even as late as 1913. That's what struck me so odd, that is, about the pulling down of statues or the moving of statues of Confederate generals. That was part of the effort to knit the country back together, to say that the honorable peace replaced the war, and that in the honorable peace we must acknowledge leadership and heroes, no matter what uniform they wore. And I don't believe that there was any attention to that detail, that enormous effort by the country from 1865 at least till 1913, probably continued afterwards, to knit the country together. Was there a spirit of enmity between the North and the South when you were in Congress, that is?
No, that was pretty much resolved back then. But you also have to remember, John, that while the healing was occurring and Grant's funeral procession was a major step towards that, you still had the failed Reconstruction. And so the healing within the country was not necessarily accorded to the newly emancipated African Americans or the already emancipated freedmen. So you still had the process of the failed Reconstruction, the failure at that point to redeem the promise of equality that was put into the constitutional amendments 13, 14, 15. So when you went 16, when you went forward, John, you needed somebody like a Martin Luther King to continue the process of healing through the civil rights movement to try to get full equality for all Americans, regardless of race. So when we saw the statues come up, my first thought was that these are individuals who do not know the history, do not know how much went into trying to unite the country following the Civil War, which would include the efforts not only of Grant and people like Joseph Johnson and Bolivar, but as well as people like Dr. King to continue to help us form a more perfect union. And so I always thought that the best thing to do is not tear down the statues, but if, say, you had a Confederate statue, I'd put a larger statue of Harriet Tubman next to it. I put a larger statue of Frederick Douglass next to it. I put a larger statue of Dr. Martin Luther King next to it. I would celebrate the successes of those who helped unite the country and not merely tear it down and rip open an old wound.
That is McCotter writing in American Greatness about the day Grant was processed through a Democratic town. New York was always dominated by the Democrats. All the way through the war, all the way after the war, Tammany Hall ran New York, but they all turned out to say goodbye to the man who saved the Union, Ulysses S. Grant. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.